Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 391, the four stanzas. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. And what follows, Psalter 391, the four stanzas. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 43. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Mark and Nicole Vandenbroek, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl, and Mrs. Ada Melgers, who was scheduled for her treatment on Friday. Mrs. M. Bazin of Grand Rapids, who hopes to commemorate her 84th birthday today. And Mr. Adi van den Breinast, who may also commemorate his birthday today, 85 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created everything and upholdest all things by thy providence to this very moment, and where the apostle has declared, in him we live, we move and have our being, and so it is thy good and thy gracious hand, where thou was granted unto us and our dear children, all travelers to a never-ending eternity, that thou was granted another Lord's Day, and that we may meet one another within thy house of prayer. Then we may humbly thank thee that thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us, wherever we were called to be, in the home, on the way, at work, at school, in all places. Then surely thou hast not dealt as we deserve, we may still be in the precious day of grace. Then thou yet maketh a great difference, where also in the past week a great multitudes have been ushered into eternity, their lot is forever cast. Then also in the past week, then two family circles have stood on the cemetery around an open grave. Oh, then we commend unto thee the young widow with her son. We have laid the particular circumstances before thee already. And then we also remember the other family, O Lord, where so suddenly and unexpectedly that thou wast taken out of their midst, a dear husband, a dear father, grandfather, a dear son, and further family relative. Oh, then we humbly beseech thee that thou may remember her who has now become a widow, with all of her children overwhelmed in possibilities, ah, Lord, do place underneath thy everlasting arms. Be mindful of the children that dwell amongst us. Wilt thou return them in safety? And so we commend all the mourning ones in our midst, where there are very large empty places. Ah, Lord, grant them a place at thy footstool, and may it please thee to remember to comfort, and above all to sanctify the serious and solemn callings in the midst of us and our dear children. Oh, come then down with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, that thou may dwell richly amongst us in this morning hour. And then thou knowest how it has been with each boy and girl, our youth and older ones, when they have risen, when they may see the light of another day, what their particular requests have been. And may there indeed have been souls with particular requests, with a need, and with an eye upon thee. Oh, may it have been as with the Jabez, who was prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Thou hast a people upon the earth that has become the most important, that they need thee as their God, and that they need to be reconciled. But then it shall also be the prayer that thou wouldest enlarge my coast, that young and old may be converted by thee unto thee, but also in the life of thy people, that there may be an increase in their knowledge, in their graces, all bound to the throne of grace, and to receive those special tokens of thy favor, but also the leadings into the mysteries of salvation, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. Ah, may there have been souls that have prayed with the Jabez, that thy hand may be upon me, thy caring, thy sparing, thy protecting, but above all thy merciful hand, and that have also prayed that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve thee. Ah, that tender and close life, to know the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that it causes that separation, and when that love may be an exercise, then that holy desire flowing forth from the work of thy Holy Spirit virtue, the meditorial work of Jesus Christ, a desire to walk in thy ways, that there have been souls that have begged of thee, that in thy house in this morning hour, that I would remember them with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that they may be given to glean on the fields of the greater Boaz, but also that they may meet with Boaz, and that he may speak comfortably unto their soul, and show them his riches, his love, and his mercy. Oh, that near kinsman, that great kinsman, who was offered himself, who was purchased his bride with his precious blood, our Lord. It is written in thy holy word that thy name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And that is the only hope for us and our dear children. And thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And may that richly be experienced in this hour, thy special favor and thy special presence, that thou may work from generation to generation the works of thy free and sovereign grace. Then we commend unto thee a young father and mother for whom the third time in their married life that thou wast blessed them with the birth of a little child, O Lord. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart where thou hast made all things well, they have experienced with their last child, that they had to go remain in the hospital, a serious surgery. Thou hast made all things well. And when the parents are given to experience those matters, then undoubtedly more to appreciate and to see thy gracious hand when thou maketh all things so wonderfully well. But Lord, that broken and humble heart, that is a gift which thou must give. May this little daughter be one for thee. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing and their increased responsibility. Then we commend all the expecting families. Oh, do graciously watch over the mothers and the unborn, that in due time thou may gladden them with thy deeds. Lord, there are many serious concerns amongst us. Then we commend them all unto thee. Wilt thou grant a special place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee everything, and humbly ask thee to remember them. And then the mother is scheduled for her treatment this week. Then we humbly ask thee that thou may go with her, that the means may be blessed. And when she is called to go in isolation, O Lord, may it be by thy Spirit, by thy grace, that she may be given to experience that she is not alone, it is true, separated from family and friends, but that she may experience thy gracious presence. And so we commend all those under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing, those that stand in need of strengthening. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may remember us in special ways. And then there are those that may commemorate a birthday in this day. And then we commend unto thee the widow of thy former servant, where they have dwelt amongst us for many years. And now thou hast given her another year in another place. And so we commend her unto thee for body and for soul, where the infirmity shall only increase. Then also an old father and husband together with his wife, they may commemorate another birthday than thou was spared for 85 years, where a few years ago it seems at the gates of eternity, and thou was still spared. Then we commend them both unto thee for body and for soul. Lord, we commend unto thee our branch. We ask thee that thou may gather with them in this day, and that thy word may be richly blessed among young and old. We remember the young couple that were united in holy matrimony in this past week. And it is the first Lord's Day as husband and wife, O Lord. And may it please thee to work irresistibly and savingly by thy Spirit in their young hearts. And may thou use thy holy word to that end. And now we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in speaking and in listening. May our eyes be upon thee and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 389, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. 389, 1, 3, 4, and 5. this morning hour than with the help of the Lord by renewal. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 42 and thereof the fifth verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Our text words speak of the psalmist's dialogue with the soul, in the which he asks a weighty question. As secondly, he gives an encouraging instruction. And in the third place, he speaks of a sure thanksgiving. A beloved congregation, then on the past Lord's days, then we have listened to a soul that was given to unburden itself the reasons why the soul was cast down. And then we have heard of many reasons, and it could be multiplied out. We could speak of unanswered prayers. It could be concerning thanksgiving. And may there be such souls in my midst that are troubled, where the Lord is so good, so merciful, and so long-suffering, but where that soft heart is so missed, and when the Lord granteth that soon by renewal, it hopes to be Thanksgiving Day. But now we must continue. And then in our second thought, he gives an encouraging instruction. And concerning that casting down, then from our side there needs much to be cast down. Our pride, our self-reliance, our self-righteousness, it all needs to be cast down before that Almighty God. And now when the psalmist is asked, why art thou cast down, and given the soul to unburden itself the many reasons, then David was also given to give instruction concerning that cast down. And now for David and for the church, then it becomes the wonder, oh, it is true, the soul has declared, why art thou cast down? But then the soul did not say that it was cast away. It is true, it can go in the depths, and the ways can be so mysterious. And do we not read in Isaiah 49, verse 14, for Zion saith, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. But then the Lord has instructed, can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, she may forget, but I will not forget. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Then the Lord uses those ways that the soul may be given to experience out of what a need, what a depth, and what a depth they have been delivered, and each time need to be delivered. And to that end, the high praises of the Lord may come in their mouth. And now the psalmist has declared a few words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Oh, then we could also add, it is a sign of life, because boys and girls, when we compare a fence post and a living tree, And when there comes a storm, when the wind blows, then that fence post stays the same, stands straight up. But for a living tree, then many times back and forth with the fear that it shall even be blown over. Thus that being cast down, that is a sign of life in itself, and that grants hope to the soul that they indeed have become a living soul. And now the psalmist David has said to a soul in our text, hope thou in God. And congregation, then God, that is our only hope for all of us. Because we read in Psalm 145 verse 9, that the Lord is good for his creatures, that the Lord careth for his creatures. Apollos preached in Athens, in Acts 17 verse 28, in him we live, we move, and have our being, then we cannot live without hope. A farmer in the spring, then he plants his fields in hope that with the blessing of the Lord, that he may receive a crop, where in Genesis 8 verse 22, we read that summer and winter shall not cease. Thus when there are difficulties, impossibilities, and there are many trials, then may our hope be in God, our prayer to God, if it may please him, that he may help, that he may remember. But now in our text, when David says, hope thou in God, then he is given to speak of that living hope which the Spirit has given in the moment of regeneration and the exercises thereof each time by renewal, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And then people shall say, but what is now the difference between the hope of mankind? Because without hope we cannot live. And alas, what multitudes there are in our day that have not the holy word of God, that do not come up to his courts, then really what hope do they have in this world? Thus still a privilege to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace, where the Lord has especially promised to work and to bless his word. But congregation, we can understand that hope in itself, that somehow or sometime it shall turn out well, and now we need to be converted. But now the hope of a natural man does not mean that it excludes God. We have been brought up under the truth. But then our hopes center more upon deliverance and blessings. And then it does not center so much upon God's glory, the coming of his kingdom, and to experience his favor and that blessed communion, and to be exercised with thanksgiving. And we have heard it from David that it is in the context of worshiping the Lord. It is true, he was far from those courts, but his desire was for the living God. And now when David has said, Hope thou in God. That word hoping in the Hebrew language, that is not a hoping with folded arms and that we say we just wait and hope that it comes. And no, that is a hope with special exercises. And that word also refers to a holy waiting. Do we not read in Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the psalmist in 130, verse 5, I wait upon the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Thus that is a living hope, based upon God's inspired word. Then in the scriptures we also read of other hopes. In Job 8, the verses 13 and 14, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be as a spider's web. And when it is declared that David has said unto his soul, then we may also see it, that David was given to rebuke his own soul, when he has said unto his soul, why art thou cast down? And when his soul was given to unburden itself with overflowing reasons, why his soul was indeed cast down. And then when David was given to ask that question, it was also in the form of rebuke. Then David was given to say, my soul, it is true. The circumstances are very difficult. The persecution heavy. Then you are thinking of the multitude that may go up to keep holy day to the courts of the Lord, and you separated in a lonely place, but yet soul, dost thou now truly have reasons to be cast down? And to that end, a very clear but a very short answer then David was given to instruct this soul, hope thou in God. And when David was given to say, hope thou in God, then it speaks of a triune God, speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And to hope in God, and to hope in the three persons, then it is needful a saving knowledge in the soul of those three persons. And then we read in the scriptures, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And now that true hope, we also read of a clear separation of the living hope of the true child of God, of those hopes that are not wrought by the Spirit. When we think of Romans 5, the verses 3 through 5, and also we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and that hope which maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God that is shed abroad in the heart. Thus that true hope, that is a grace that goes together with faith and love. And when we think of the explanation of hope, in Romans 8, the verses 24 and 25, then the apostle was given to write to the Romans, for we hope which we see not, for what we see what should we hope for, but now we hope for what we see not, and we patiently wait for it. Thus then faith, closely related and connected to hope, even in the scripture used interchangeably, then faith, by the immediate working of the Spirit, may embrace the promise, but then hope says, the full realization and fulfillment that lies in the future, and therefore we hope for it. And then further concerning that hope, it is described in Hebrews 6 verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Thus then hope is compared, boys and girls, you know maybe what an anchor is, an anchor that is in the ship. And when the ship needs to lie still, coming to the harbor, then the captain, then he cast that anchor overboard, that it may be joined to the soil underneath, and that ship may lay still. But we can understand, for an anchor to be kept in the ship, it is true it can be a beautiful anchor, it can be a good anchor, but such an anchor needs to be cast out. And now the apostle writes that the anchor of that hope, not in self, but that it must be cast within the veil, and that refers to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way to the Father. Then David is said in our text, hope thou in God. And what are now the grounds and the foundations that the true church may hope? And what a question that can be for souls. Ah, the true work they are given to examine themselves oftentimes. Oh, they may speak of a hope, may speak of a confirmation, a blessing when they may have hope where the Lord has spoken a special word. And do we not read of the psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Then let us mention a few sure grounds upon which the living child may hope. And the living child, they shall be granted those exercises, because the living child needs a sure hope. And we have mentioned the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit. But now more in particular, then they may hope in that covenant of grace that lieth so sure, that one-sided work, because the living child learns anything had to be added would be eternally lost. The Spirit teaches them the hopes they have in self, in the covenant of works, that it shall not be sufficient, all of that covenant. The prophet Isaiah has declared in Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10, and this shall be as the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth. So have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor my covenant of peace be removed of thee. Oh, how oftentimes that it has pleased the Lord to use the beautiful rainbow in the sky, no, not in a clear sunny sky, but against the background of the dark clouds. And what a dark clouds there can be in this life, but that the Lord shows them a little of his faithfulness. Ah, that is the only hope for the church, the unchangeable covenant of a triune God. His name is Lord, his name is Jehovah. I am that I am. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, hope thou in God, then they may be given to hope in his attributes. Oh, in his mercy, do we not read in Psalm 36, how excellent are thy loving kindnesses, O Lord. Therefore do the children of men put their trust under thy wings. Ah, the true child is given to experience that the Lord is good, that the Lord is merciful, that the Lord is long-suffering. And now for that hope, because we have heard Jesus Christ, which is our hope, then the child needs to be led to that foundation. How it is possible that the Lord can show his mercy. Oh, then further hope thou in God, in the truth of God's holy word. We even read of the Balaam when he is prophesied concerning the children of Israel from a high place. In Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man that he should repent. And we read in Titus 1 verse 2, God, he is a God that cannot lie. Thus the Lord shall fulfill everything that is written in God's word, what he has promised for his church. And now for that hope to be exercised, then it shall be exercised, it is true, the promises of the covenant of grace, and they are for the church of God. But now it pleases the Spirit to speak personally and apply a promise to their heart. The Lord can speak in a still small voice, can speak by an earthquake, and then there is a waiting people with the exercising of that hope, and then there comes a true pleading upon what the Lord has promised, and it can go through such deep ways. Ah, that the soul can be so cast down, because that true hope, hope of the hypocrite, has not so much trouble, or of the nominal Christian, but the hope of the living child that is so attacked together with their faith, oh, their unbelief. It is the greatest sin, people of God. It is a blessing when at times when it becomes the greatest sin. Ah, then that people become so ashamed. Such small thoughts, such dishonoring thoughts of that great and gracious God. Ah, for the living child. It's not strange, the prayer of that father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Hope thou in God and his truth, but further in his righteousness. And that is a righteousness that is a merited righteousness. Think of Psalm 71 verse 16. I will make mention of thy righteousness only. Jeremiah 23 verse 6. The Lord our righteousness. That is now the hope of the living child. Ah, they can be so cast down with their sins, with their unthankfulness, their unbelief, but now to be given to hope in God, in his righteousness, a merited righteousness by the dear Son of God. Oh, by him who was truly being cast down. We read in Matthew 28 verse 36, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. O congregation, the surety, he has went before. He has experienced what it was to be cast down as no child of God. How deep the way can be. He has been cast down as no child of God, with a burden of the wrath of his Father. He has taken the sins of his church upon him. The psalmist has prophesied in Psalm 22 verse 6, I am a worm and no man. Oh, that blessed surety. He was cast down, not without hope, because before he has went into the garden of Gethsemane, oh, that high priestly prayer for his father's honor and the salvation of the church. I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Oh, then they may hope in God in that surety, who was cast down, who has descended into hell, no, not literally boys and girls, but that he has experienced the sorrows of hell. All the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism have said that he was plunged into the agonies and sorrows of hell. Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. There is a merited righteousness. He has paid the price. And do we not read in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, for in all things he was tempted as we are, sin excepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may receive help in time of need. Hope thou in God. Oh, for souls that are cast down, oh, for David, so persecuted and so oppressed, but an hope in the power of God. What a pillar that may be for the true child of God. Oh, think of Abram in Genesis 17, verse 1. Then the Lord has come over. I am the Almighty God. And in Genesis 18, verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the angel Gabriel has said to Mary in Luke 1, verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. Oh, insofar that it may be according to the will of God. Then further, hope thou in God, then also the attribute of his wisdom, because we have mentioned Isaiah 9, verse 6, that his name is called Wisdom, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Hope thou in God. What else may the living child now hope in? Then we have examples in the Scriptures. What we would say hopeless cases, impossible cases, but that the Lord, let us only mention the histories of Joseph and the history of Esther. The Lord is too wise to err and too good to be unkind for the true child of God. And now under those circumstances, then we may make a separation for those seeking souls where the Lord has begun and where they have tasted of the good things of the Lord. Spoiled for the world, a cleaving unto the Lord, a hatred and a fleeing of sin, separated from the world. Ah, when the Lord sheds that love abroad in the heart, then that hope may be so lively that they are one of his, and can even be that it is so lively that it seems that all their sins may be covered and they may be given to sing the praises of the Lord. But for those seeking souls, when the Lord withdraws himself, then what a questions. And then those souls think, if I now had the assurance that I was now truly his, then I would be willing, then I could bear everything so easy, willing to bear and sacrifice anything when I may be a child of the King. But now also for children of God, when they have been led further and received a certain measure of assurance, then there can still come circumstances that they become so cast down concerning their condition, and that they know it no more, and that by renewal, as a little child, as a beggar at the throne of grace, hope thou in God. And then David further in our text, then he makes that separation between a nominal hope and the hope of the living child. That for the living child, many trials, many difficulties, but then not only to be delivered can be the life of the true child, under great trials, that the Lord does grant help and does grant deliverance, but that they can even be cast down more. And that is because they are not given by the work of the Spirit to truly experience what David has spoken of at the end of our text. Let us first sing. Psalter 326, the four stanzas. Thy promised mercy sent to me, and thy great salvation, Lord. So shall he answer those who scoff. My trust is in thy word and what follows. 326, the four stanzas. Thank you. their solemnest dialogue with the soul, in the which first he asks a weighty question, as secondly he gives an encouraging instruction, and now thirdly he speaks of a sure thanksgiving. And then David has further instructed, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. It speaks of a yet. That is a yet of the faithfulness of the Lord, that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands, and that in the life of his true children, that the purpose of creation shall be realized, and that is the honor of God's name. Then that yet, that hope, let us also add, that may also be upon what the Lord has done in the past. Paul has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver and trust that he will yet deliver. Then when the true child may be given to reflect what the Lord has done in the past, how the Lord has found them, how they have been wrought upon, how they have become seekers and beggars, that the Lord oftentimes has heard the beggar's prayer, that the Lord has helped hitherto, then they may be given to say yet, because the Lord is that faithful covenant God, oh more so, when they may be given to be led further into the mysteries of salvation, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, his work, his purchase. Oh, the Son to know him in his names, natures, offices, states and benefits, and the precious work of the Holy Spirit. And now what did David say? For yet will be delivered, freed from all my troubles in the context, this clear and this solemn, when he was persecuted, where there were times that it seems that the end has come, that he would never become king. Did David now say, hope thou in God, for he shall deliver thee? It's included. But David has said more. And that is now a mark of grace. With that true hope, then there shall be a hating and fleeing of sin, that we grieve not in special ways the God of hope. We read in Romans 8 verse 29 that the church becomes conformable to the image of Christ when the Lord works that true hope. Oh, it can be true that we can be so cast down, and then we can be so silent, because then the soul thinks, the Lord would now answer my request, help and deliver, then it would be so much easier to extol that faithful and mighty God. But now there are those mockers that it can be times that they can be so silent. But the Lord shall remember and uphold this true people in all their ways. And what a question it can be concerning that casting down, whether indeed it is the true work and whether it is the true hope which Christ gives to his church. But now the Lord is not a land of outer darkness, and there shall be those times that they may be given to speak of a yet, and with the exclamation of those yets, then already that thanksgiving rises up in their heart. That already with the exercise of that yet, and that they may be given to hope and to firmly believe in the Lord's help and the Lord's deliverance. Then the praises, the high praises of God may be in their heart. And then David has said, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Thus in the life of David, it goes about that praise, also about help, not excluded, but together for the true child of God, that with their deliverances, the help granted, that they may have an eye upon their God, and those stirrings, that vehement desire, oh, it is true here, it is only in part. For the multitude above, there it is in perfection. Also our text, when we read of that yet, here it is only in part. But the church may have a beginning with thanksgiving and with thanks living. Thus that separates the precious from the vile. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And that word help that refers to deliverance, and that also refers to salvation. And now for the living child, they need that help for their bodily needs, and they need that help for their soul to be saved. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Has that now become our burden and our concern, congregation? The praises of the Lord, the purpose of all creation. The Lord is good, he grants many blessings, but the needs and the trials, they are also manifold. And then in our prayers, how is it with our requests? Is it for the timely needs? The Lord will help us, make us prosperous, grant us some riches, are we then happy and satisfied? Or does it also go about his honor? The prayer that Christ has taught his church, the fourth petition that follows, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and then the most difficult, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord, as a people that is much ashamed, but they know that the honor of God, than they have a desire, that God would be praised by them, shall be careful not to offend their God, but also the vehement desire that God may be praised by others. And then David has begun speaking to a soul, and then he is given to soar higher and higher, because then we read that he continues, oh my God, was given to own God as his God. And then in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his night his song shall be with me. Thus then David was not only given to speak that he would praise the Lord once he would be delivered, but in that yet, then he was given to praise the Lord already for everything that he has done, that he has kept hitherto, and that the Lord would continue to watch over him through this life, and that the Lord would grant deliverance. And then in verse 9, God, my rock, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. We are still in the precious day of grace, but we need to experience the things of the Lord. We need new hearts that fear the Lord, that love the Lord, shines forth in this solemn. The love for the Lord, for his word, for his house, for his institutions. We need to be born again. And if that has not happened, congregation, if that shall not take place, what then? Then we shall be cast down into the bottom of hell. And that is a place where prayer need not to be made, and where hope shall never come, where there shall never come a gospel preacher to speak of hope, but eternally lost. Oh, may it please the God of all grace to bless his word, that in this hour that the Lord may shoot arrows of love and arrows of conviction in the hearts of young and old, because then we become cast down, because that we are unconverted, that we do not belong to that blessed people, but filled with a holy jealousy and given to beg for the portion of the church of God. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, tell the Lord, how it is. Tell the Lord that you need to be converted. Ask the Lord that you may have a little beginning to sing his praises, because in hell there we shall only curse the Lord. Cannot be described what a terrible place that is. But now the Lord is still gathering his church, and for the living church, then the prayer shall be what we read, that is a continual prayer, what we have read together out of Psalm 43, the verses 3 and 4. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may bless thy word. Forgive everything that was amiss. Who was able to explain it? Lord, those that are not cast down because of their state, their lost condition, wilt thou cast them down on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, and then they shall be given to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, it is thy work to cast down, the work of the Spirit to uncover, and it is thy work to lift up, to put the high praises of God in the mouths of thy true children. And here below, it shall be a continual casting down. There thou teachest thy children many a lessons and a lifting up. And then at the end for the true child, then it shall be perfectly. Yet I will praise him for the help of his countenance, Lord. Remember us and our children. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day? Grant safety on the unsafe roads. Help the family circles to worship thee. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Calvin Gerald Niels and Stacy Ray Vandenhoek. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, October 11 at 10:30 a.m. in Obelford. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the Paul magazine is at the exit, 247. 1, 2, and 6. Everybody save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.